Let's take our Bibles this morning, turn to Matthew chapter number 6. Last week, the Lord had put in our hearts about the subject matter of our mind and strengthening and refocusing our mind. And this matter of, and I'm definitely not a medical doctor or a mental doctor, but just knowing that the mental battles that have taken place over the past year, year and a half, and refocusing our minds. And if I would have entitled it, I think it would have been very fitting last Sunday, but Christianity is not a game. But as a coach would say, and I emphasized this last Sunday, that it's time for some of us to get our mind in the game, back in the game, and be able to get refocused and back in where God desires for us to be. And so, not necessarily in that same message, but along that same theme, I want to be able to preach this morning out of Matthew chapter number 6 on this subject matter, on why worry when we can pray. And I'm not going to ask how many here have a problem like I do with the subject matter of worry. And how many found out that worrying usually works because what we worry about never happens? And so that means it dealt with that subject matter. But I wonder how many, and there's no way of telling, on how many brain hours have been spent this past week on the subject matter of worrying about one thing or another. And so we want to be able to look in the scriptures, and I'm praying God will help us with this subject matter this morning. If you found Matthew chapter 6 and you're able and willing to, would you stand for the reading of the Word of God? If you cannot, then just remain seated right there in your seats. Matthew chapter number 6, I'm going to begin reading in verse number 24 and read down through the end of the chapter, verse 34. The Bible says, verse 24, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for the body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." I almost entitled it this morning on the simple fact of God knows. I circled that phrase as I was reading down through here in verse number 32, where it says, "For your heavenly," and I just circled that little phrase, "Father knoweth." And so many times in our lives, we forget that God knows. And I want to preach for a little while on this, why worry, and just share a few thoughts. I pray it'll be encouragement to us, but you know something in my life, I'm praying it's a conviction. And I pray the Word of God convicts my heart again about this matter of worrying. And so let's pray together, then you can be seated. Father, we love you. Lord, we're reminded of the scriptures and so many of them that our mind runs to this morning, that thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. And Lord, I pray there's no question that across our nation, Lord, that the mental anguish over the past year and a half has sure affected individuals and families and even churches. But, Lord, even inside churches, there's this subject matter of worrying that, Lord, we can say the right words on the outside for people to be able to hear, but our hearts are in constant turmoil. Lord, I pray that you'd help us with that as we look into the Scriptures now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. As we have those that worry, and listen, you can fill in the blank about some of the things that you worry about. In fact, if we were to hand out 3x5 cards this morning, or some might need legal size, you might need 11x14 to be able to sit down and be able to make your list of everything that you are currently or have worried about in this past week that you would have to write down, that you would have to say, at least for one moment throughout the past week, I've worried about this. People have fears that come into our lives. We dealt with the subject matter and quoted some of the verses this past week on God's not giving us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I actually started doing some research this week, and can I say some of the number one things that people worry about, that they're afraid of, that they think about ahead of time? A lot of those things have actually changed over the past year and a half. But still, one of the number one things people worry about that they're afraid of is public speaking. How many here have a fear of public speaking? And my hand's up, too. I still get fearful when I step up and everything that I have to say. And but as we look at that, sometimes it's public speaking. Some people have they worry about death. They worry about what's going to happen to them. And it's amazing that even those that believe that, okay, we just die and it's over with, they still worry about how it's going to happen and when it's going to happen. How many have don't yell it out right now this morning, but you have your choice way of death that you would prefer if you have a say in it, okay? I mean, I'd rather just go to bed one night and fall asleep and wake up in heaven. I'd be perfectly okay with that, okay? I mean, I don't want to, one of the biggest fears people worry about is drowning, okay? How many have a fear and worry about drowning when they're out there, okay? And then we worry about things. We worry about family. We worry about our children. We worry about this. We worry about that. I walk inside the church on Saturday night and I walk back in on Sunday morning, I worry about this and worry about that and say, okay, is this going to work? And is that cleaned up? And is that taken care of? And we worry about things on a constant basis, constant timeline in our lives. We get news. We hear about someone sick. And even though there may be absolutely nothing we can do about it, we sit at home. We worry about that. And it occupies our mind over and over and over. Can I say this, that it's natural and it's a natural occurrence in our mind to be worried? And some people say that they never have the sin of worry, but they just have the benefit of being concerned. And so they're not worried about things. They're just overly concerned about things. And sometimes we worry about things that aren't even our business. Say amen. Don't say amen right there. We need to have an altar call. Being worried about things that are not even our business. The Bible calls them busybodies. Don't worry about it. It's not your business. How many ever wanted to look at someone and be a little bit ruder than what a New Englander would be and say, just butt out of it. It's not your business. Don't worry about it. But we worry about things. It's a common characteristic in our hearts and lives. And may I say that it doesn't change just because you're in church on a Sunday morning. In fact, if I can say this, we may have a tendency to worry even more because we're in a church family. And instead of taking things to the Lord in prayer, we actually take things inwardly and we worry about them and we stew over them and we're concerned about them. And I want to share a few thoughts out of Matthew chapter number 6 this morning. And they all begin with I. I'll give you 3 points. Number one, we're going to look at the identifying of worrying. Identifying of worrying. We looked at that in verse number 25. We'll get there in just a second. And then we're going to look at this, and I know you're looking forward to it, the ineffectiveness of worrying. You say, oh, no, it works well for me, the ineffectiveness of worrying. And then the instructions learned from worrying. How many have ever learned something from worrying, or you wish you would have learned that lesson before you started worrying? Let's come back and identify it, looking in verse number 25. Look at this. This is what Jesus is saying here. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? I'm reminded in verse number 25, I believe it would greatly apply, and maybe I can preach this to the younger generation, that they're so concerned about what are we going to eat, what are we going to drink, and what am I going to wear? because we're so worried about that and so concerned about it, making sure that our outfit is going to be so pleasing to everybody else that's around us. Can I say this on these three basic things right here, what we eat, what we drink, and what we wear? It's not that it's saying there ought not to be no thought put into it, which I believe some have gone to the extreme on this. If you don't believe me, just go walk around Walmart tomorrow. I'm thinking, have you ever wanted to walk up to someone and say, did you even look in the mirror before you left the house today? I mean, when did it become socially acceptable to be wearing your pajamas and a hoodie to walk inside of a grocery store? You remember the days, I remember the days my mom would get up on a Saturday morning to go do the grocery shopping once a week. There wasn't stopping at a grocery store five times throughout the week. Once a week on Saturday morning, my mom would go do the grocery shopping. And if we get up to go with her, she'd look at us and say, you're not wearing that if you're going out with me to the grocery store. That's not what these verses are saying. And some would walk around saying, hey, I've got verse for this. Take no thought what you shall eat, what you shall drink, or what you shall put on. Don't think about your clothes. That's not what the Bible's saying. What the Bible's saying is trying to get us to identify what worrying is in the context of Scripture, that sometimes, and as we look down through here, we are so concerned and so worried about material and physical possessions in life that we have no thought whatsoever for the things of God or the things of eternity, because our mind is 100% focused right here on the things of this world. We worry about when the new phone comes out, am I going to be able to go get it? We worry about when the newest sneakers come out, can I go get them? We worry about, and you say, yeah, boy, really go after those young people. We worry about when the newest truck comes out, are we going to be able to go get that? Or when the newest thing gets into Hobby Lobby. How many ladies love Hobby Lobby or the second class substitute going to Michael's? We worry about, and all of a sudden we start walking through there, and all of a sudden, we were not careful, anxious, or worrying about a thing. But now we're worried about what we just impulse bought at the store. And we worry all the way home about where we're going to put it in the house. And all of a sudden, our entire train of thought, listen, I'm not saying it's wrong to go to Hobby Lobby, not saying it's wrong to go to Michael's or to get a new pair of sneakers or to get a new phone when it comes out. But can I say this? We ought not to be mentally consumed with all of those things that we cannot whatsoever think about the things of God. I'm reminded what Colossians says, that we ought to set our affection on things above and not on things on the earth. I'm reminded what Jesus said, that listen, where your heart is, there will your treasure be. Where treasure is, there will your heart be also. And we ought to lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven and not treasures on earth. Why? Because treasures down here are just going to corrupt. But treasures in heaven aren't. Listen, I'm not one bit worried about my investment in heaven. Now listen, I know it's a roller coaster world down here with investments and stocks and things that you may have. But can I say this? We have something beyond all of this. All of this stuff's just going to pass away. The Bible tells us, Peter wrote about it, that it's all going to pass away with a fervent heat. Can I say this? Let's not worry about material possessions down here. Now, we've tried to get to the point, and I'll say this, and you can hold me to it. Miss Crystal and I have talked about it several times. What would we do if we came home and it was our house that was burned down? We'd miss memories, and every one of us would, wouldn't we? We'd miss the pictures on the wall, except for some of them are of my son. We can do away with some of those. No, I mean, we'd miss things like that. We'd miss memories and mementos and things that have been held so dear to us. But can I say this? The rest of it, it's just possessions. And sometimes we get so worried about the things that are here on this earth. Miss Crystal and I appreciate her philosophy. For years, she has made our house a home. And she had said this, listen, no matter who's coming into our home, we don't just take things because a little child came in there and put them up 8 foot high. Listen, we live in our home. We don't have anything out and around that if it gets broken, we're going to spend all night crying over it. We want our house to be lived in. We want it to be a home. We try not to worry about these physical possessions. And listen, can I say this? If we want to identify worry, and it's that which you are spending your time concerned over more than the things of God and that which is eternal. I don't want to be known as a worrier. I want to be known as a warrior, but not a worrier. I think about things and I do pray over things, and every once in a while I know the devil climbs up on my shoulder the same way he climbs up on your shoulder, and I look at 24 by 36 inch blueprints that are out there and some plans, and I look at them and say, okay, now Lord, how's this going to happen? And I start looking at it, and he has to take me back 5 years and say, okay, that's what you were saying when we moved into this one. And we spend time worrying, but can I say this? We serve the same God. The same God. And I'm desiring to walk in His will. And listen, it's that old song that we sing it over and over. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. And listen, the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in light of His glory and grace. And we'll quit worrying about all the things that are this side of heaven. And I want to be concerned with what I'm laying up there and what's waiting for me up there. I don't want to spend my time down here worrying and anxious and concerned about things, listen, that I have absolutely no control over whatsoever. You know what I've come to the point? If there is one major lesson that I've been taught in the past year and a half, is that there's some things I can't control. Not some things. There's a lot of things that I can't control. And you know something? I'm not going to lend one moment of my time longer than when I realize it. I can't do anything about it, so I'm going to leave it alone. Some people that give the reasons, hey, we can't be in church. Okay. There's nothing I can do about that, so I'm going to church, and I'm going to preach, and I'm going to rejoice, and I'm going to sing, and I'm going to fellowship, and I can't worry about some other things. I can't. It's not that I'm not concerned for people, but I found out there's a lot of things I can't control, but what I can control, I'm going to keep focused on Christ. And I'm going to try to identify worrying in my life. But then I told you, and I wanted to get to this, the ineffectiveness of worrying. I wonder how many right now are just thinking in their hearts and their lives that they worry more than probably what they should. And I'm not asking for a raise of hands. I'm asking for God to speak to our hearts about this. On how many mental hours have been spent the past week worrying about things that are so beyond your control that you can't do anything about, and some things that are none of your business. The ineffectiveness of worry. He gives us three examples here. One of them is fowls in verse number 26. The second one is you in verse number 27. And the third one is the lilies of the field in verse number 28. The fowls of the air in verse number 26, the Bible says, behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Have you ever seen a bird sitting up on the limb, wringing its wings? No, you haven't. If need be, they fly down and pick up a seed off the ground. In fact, not only does God provide enough for that bird, how many remember me preaching a message, you're better than the birds? Remember that message? If you don't, I can go back and preach it again. You're better than the birds. And he's saying, listen, the birds are not worrying. They're not out there. Listen, I haven't one time had to worry about the birds next door being out there with a plow taking up our property over here. I am worried about the chipmunks down bottom. They're digging holes all over the place out back here. storing things up. I'm telling you, he didn't give the chipmunks as an example of not worrying. You ever seen a chipmunk? Man, they're scurrying everywhere. I mean, winter's coming. They're concerned. They're getting over here. They're getting over there. Worried as can be. He didn't use the chipmunks. He used the birds. Bird gets up in the morning, just gets down. Listen, they're just flying around saying, hey, they got a heavenly Father that's going to provide for them. And I thought this, if we're better than the birds and God knows us, and listen, we're of more value than the birds to the Lord Jesus Christ. He gives us these three examples, but then second of all, not just the birds and what they're going to eat, but he says, which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? Who here in the front row would admit that you're a little shorter than you desire to be? Okay, Danny will. Danny, stand up if you would. I'm moving over here. Danny, stand up. I want you to think real hard. If you're a little shorter than what you ought to be, would you take the rest of this service and think real hard to see if you can grow 18 inches? Just start thinking. You start now and we'll come back to it, okay? Okay, start thinking. How many believe that's actually going to be accomplished by the time we get done this service, that Danny's going to sit there and he's going to grow 18 inches? You know why? Because, hey, whatever you put your mind to, you can accomplish. Yeah, that's not true.
Amen.
It's just not. You know it and I know it. He can sit there and worry about his height all day long, but it's a rhetorical question. Which of you by taking thought can add a cubit? You can't do it. There are some things, listen, even in your own personal life that you can absolutely do nothing about. Why would he sit there and waste his time saying, I can grow, I can grow, I can grow? Yes, I got it. No. He's not going to. It's no use whatsoever. You're saying, Pastor, that's foolish. And I wonder how when God looks down at us and our mind and our heart is full of all these things, full of worry, and God's saying, you can't do anything about that anyway. Why are you consumed in your life and your mind and your heart about all of that? There's nothing you can do. The third one's about the lilies of the field. Can I say this? And some of you will probably try to prove me wrong now. I've never walked through a field and these lilies that's being talked about that'd be similar to our day lilies that are just growing along the side of the road up here in New Hampshire. I've never driven along and seen a lily off to the side of the road with a mirror beside it to see how it looks in the morning. Oh, the sun's coming up. People are going to be looking at us. Let's make sure that we're all beauty now. Let's open up just perfectly. I've never seen a lily doing that. You say, Pastor, I've never seen you so foolish this morning. That's what you may be saying to me. Can I say the rhetorical questions that are in the Scriptures here? He's saying, would you consider these lilies? You're of more value and how beautiful they are and how they're taken care of. The right amount of sunshine, the right amount of rain. Listen, the right amount of care. And God takes care of them so beautifully. Then how is it that we sit around and we don't think that God's going to take care of that with the only thing that He created in His own image, that He's not going to take care of us? We say, Pastor, my favorite pastime is worrying. And man, I can do it all day long and never give it a second thought. I worry while I'm sleeping. I wake up and that's the first thing on my mind is I'm worrying. I can't sleep at night because I'm worrying. Listen, there is something wrong with our confidence and our trust in our Savior if we spend all of our time worrying. And it occupies our mind, it occupies our heart. And listen, it is ineffective. It is futile in our lives to spend our time worrying about things that we cannot do anything about. The ineffectiveness of worrying. But then can I share another thought with us? The instructions learned. And I pray that we can learn them before we worry. And here's another message in and of itself. Instructions before worrying. Instructions learned. Look what the Bible says. down here in verse number 32, because he asked the question again in verse number 31. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? Okay, he's saying that up here in verse number 25 again. We already read that. Now look at these lessons that are learned starting in verse number 32. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. You know, many times throughout the scriptures, if you see that phrase, the Gentiles, you could just about most of the time just substitute, because the gospel had not gone to them at this point, that you could substitute the lost world here in this phrase of scripture. For after all those things, what ye shall eat and what ye shall drink and wherewith ye shall be clothed. Listen, after all those things do the Gentiles seek. In other words, when we're so worried about material possessions and things here in this world, can I put it simply to us? We're acting like unsaved people. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. You say, what can I learn from that? Act saved. Act saved. I wonder when the last time our thought process and that which we had concerns about our heart, I wonder if we approached it from a saved perspective. Not from an unsaved perspective. Well, what's that person going to think? Hey, we have a God in heaven. You say, hey, how are we going to get through this next week? Hey, we got a God in heaven. Hey, what's going to happen with my family? Hey, we have a God in heaven. There is no sense. These are things that the world out there, those that don't know Christ, those are the things that they're worried about. How do I look? Is every hair in place? Hey, listen, I'm thankful every one of you, I believe, just about every one of you looked in a mirror today before you came. Hey, I'm thankful for that. But can I say this? I didn't lay awake last night thinking about how I was going to look all day today for walking into church. Like the lilies of the field, God takes care of them. What are we going to eat? Sometimes we wake up like the birds and say, hey, whatever's in the cupboards, God takes care of it. Hey, how many of you have ever walked to the cupboards, opened up every one of them, opened up the refrigerator, opened up the freezer, every one of them were full, and looked over at the wife and said, there ain't a thing to eat in this house. It's not that there's not a thing to eat. It's just you didn't want to eat what was provided. You really think, I just wonder if the original taste bud of a bird was for a worm. Or if that's what just God provided to them. And then they developed a taste for worms. I don't know. But I just think they have a heavenly Father that takes care of them. And if God's going to take care of a bird, and God's going to take care of the flowers, and God's going to take care of you and I, why do we sit around worrying all the time about everything? Why don't we act like we have a heavenly Father? Why don't we? You ever talk to someone and you use this statement that they were raised on a silver spoon? You know what that means, doesn't it? Don't you? That means they're growing up, anything they ever wanted, daddy and mama bought it for them. They never went for want on anything. Hey, listen, I never went for want on anything either. Had everything we needed. God took care of everything for our family. And listen, you can look back at it and say God took care of you too. But there's some that would say, and you'd say, I wasn't raised with a silver spoon. But can I say this? We have a God in heaven that knows exactly what we need and can provide every bit of it as we trust Him. He has that full ability to be able to do so. And I'm saying this, in this matter of worry, let's not act like the Gentiles, but why don't we act saved? Verse number 32, after he says this, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek. And look at this, for your heavenly Father knoweth. Not just act and saved, but why don't we believe that God knows? Your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Sometimes people get confused on this matter of prayer and say, well, if God knows I have need of all these things, then why do I even need to pray? And I say this, prayer is more for our benefit than it is God's. Prayer is for us coming before the Lord, and it's our acknowledgement that we're dependent upon Him. And I believe God loves to hear that we're dependent upon Him. But I believe God's desiring some of His children down here to act saved and believe that God knows what's going on. I know we're in a very, and just be careful and buckle up and hold on for just a second. Let me finish the statement. We're in a very politically charged economy right now. And I know some Christians that are sitting around wringing their hands on everything that's going on. And what if this happens? And what if that happens? Can I say this? Our Heavenly Father still knows. I've probably watched as much news this week as you've watched church. Not very much. You say, I've been here for every service. Okay, so you're 6 or 8 hours worth. I haven't even watched that much news. But you know what I do know? I know there's a God in heaven. And I know He's still on the throne. Well, Pastor, that means you're condoning everything and you're in agreement with everything. I ain't condoning a thing. I'm not in agreement with anything that's going on. I believe they all need to be fired. We need to start over. In fact, I'll get 100 out of this room and we can start serving the senators right here. Just get 100, fire everybody. I'll pick 100 out of here. Hey, listen, I'm just saying there's a God in heaven that knows exactly what's going on. And I choose to believe that He knows what's going on. So I'm going to be found faithful right here where He's called us to be. And you know what's going to make a difference is I want to see another soul saved. I want to see another family walk into church. I want to see another marriage reconciled and put back together. I want to see another young person repent and get right with God. That's what will make a difference one at a time. Believe God knows. Number three, focus on heavenly things. This is all under instructions that we need to receive. Verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And then finally, on lessons we can learn, not just act like we're saved and believe God knows and focus on heavenly things, but leave tomorrow's troubles tomorrow. Can I ask you a question? How many of y'all were already worried about Monday? Why? We're not even guaranteed of tomorrow, are we? So here's the thing. We truly believe the Lord's coming back at any time, right? We might not even see tomorrow. Walk over to Brother Shepherd's place and you can still see it in there. Could be today. Could be today that the Lord comes back. We may not even see tomorrow the Lord may come back. And do you realize that if the Lord does come back today, some of you have spent your last hours here on this earth worrying about what might happen? Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. I heard a statement recently that worrying about the trouble of tomorrow only robs us of the joys of today. Worrying about the trouble of tomorrow only robs us of the joys of today. You ever been around someone and listen, everything is going absolutely fine, and you're wondering why in the world they can't have a smile on their face, why there's no joy in their heart, and you talk to them, and it has nothing to do. It's a wonderful time, around good fellowship, not a care in the world, but they're all worried about what's going to happen tomorrow. And they can't enjoy the blessings of today because they're already worried about tomorrow. The Lord says, hey, why don't you leave that for tomorrow? And why don't you take care of today? Why don't you enjoy what God is doing in your life today? Guess what? There's a reason that the model prayer was given. Give us this day our daily bread. Day by day, dependence upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll take care of things tomorrow. I found out, listen, if I try to take care of everything today for this entire week, it's not going to happen. You know what I'll do is I'll get up tomorrow morning. And I'll see what needs to be taken care of for that day, and I'll take care of what I can for that day tomorrow. And then I'm going to wake up Tuesday morning, and I'm going to see what needs to be taken care of for that day. Lord willing, if I do wake up, or we might all be in heaven. I don't want to go to heaven regretting that I worried about things that are never going to happen. Now let me tie this together. We started with verse number 24. And then he goes into this entire worrying passage, but he started off with, no man can serve two masters. And look at the context of it. What we just went through is in the context, are you going to be worrying about what's taking place, or are you going to be trusting God? You cannot serve both of them. You cannot sit there worrying and saying, but God's going to take care of it. And I found out this, you cannot sit there saying God's going to take care of it and then be over here worrying. We can't do it. Remember what Philippians chapter 4, down around verse number 6 says? Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Why worry when you can pray? You say, but Pastor, you said I can't do anything about it. No. But you can sure tell someone who can. Why don't we take it before the Lord? Well, I'm worried about this relationship and it's just occupying my mind. Why don't you do what's right in it? And not worry about that and follow the Lord. You say, well, I worry about this and I worry that this is going to happen. I'm not saying we're not concerned for things. Listen, we pray all the time for our children. We pray for their future spouses. We pray for our church. We pray for these things, not to consume ourselves with worry, but to be able to bring that before the Lord. And I'll say this, the more you pray about something, the less you'll be worried about it. That's what saved people do, that have a relationship with the Lord. We take it before the Lord in prayer. Now, can I say this, and I'll close with this. I don't know what the subject matter is that you're worried about today. It may be a financial worry. It may be a relationship worry. It may be a job situation worry. It may be something that's consuming you. It may be your greatest fear. You're worried about what happens to you when you die. And maybe that's why you're in church today. You're just something that's saying, hey, church is supposed to have the answer. Well, praise the Lord, we do. And it comes right from the Bible that we've been reading from. Hey, listen, you may be worried about dying. Can I say this? Jesus already gave the answer for that. That's why he died on the cross. That's why he was buried. That's why he rose again. That's why he shed every drop of his blood to be able to pay for every sin that you ever would commit, that you are committing, or you ever will commit. Past, present, and future, God paid for all of them. Guess what? I don't have one worry about dying and eternity this morning. Not one worry. You know why? Because I believe God. I believe God. I know that, listen, if I close my eyes in death, I know that I'll open them and forever be with the Lord Jesus Christ. I've got that settled. I'm not worried about where I'm going whatsoever. Settled in my heart and life. You may say, Pastor, I'm worried about that. Well, you don't have to be. You can trust Christ this morning. Young person, you may be worried about everything that's going to happen in life. How about you just follow the Lord every day? Get up in the morning, read your Bible, and pray. How about you just obey the things that God's placed in front of you? And guess what? God will take care of the rest of it. Marriages, how about just doing what God has commanded you to do? Husbands, how about loving the wife? Wife, how about loving the husband and submitting one to another? And listen, God will take care of the rest of it. We live biblically. We don't have to worry about it. God's given it to us in the Scriptures. I'm saying, Lord, would you help us not to worry, but help us to pray. And I don't know what you're worried about today, but I'm going to give you an opportunity. I believe the Lord's desire in that direction. Stop worrying this morning. Start praying. You say, but Pastor, I've tried that before. I was worrying about something, and I spent some time in prayer on it. And boy, it was great for about 30 minutes. But you know what happened? I started worrying about it again. You know what you need to do again? You need to pray about it again. Don't you wish you could just pray about something one time, and then you'll never worry about it again? That'd be great when our kids come into the world. I pray over them one time. We never worry about it. Hey, listen, it's not just our kids. I want to know when every other kid gets home in the community, too. Hey, you're driving late at night? Hey, let us know when you get home. Different between worrying and concern. Praying for him. I'm saying, Lord, would you help us to pray and not to worry? I don't know what you're worried about this morning. I don't know what your mental time clock is spending all of its effort on. maybe God would allow us to be able to spend some time in prayer and give it over to Him.